I would like very much for you to listen most carefully to my message today. I believe the message would be considered a little controversial, maybe to some people, very controversial. But I'm going to speak on this subject, and I want you to listen carefully and reserve your comments or opinion until I've completed the message. Now, here's the title, More Than an Invitation. That's what I'm speaking on, More Than an Invitation. And my text is taken from the book of Mark, chapter 1, verse 14. Now, listen carefully. Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Now, we hear a lot of talk today about the gospel invitation. You hear that on every hand, the gospel invitation. And we hear a lot about inviting men to believe God and inviting men to receive Christ. But I strongly suggest, very strongly, I declare unto you that the gospel of Jesus Christ our Lord is more, much more than an invitation. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a command. Now, that's what I'm talking about, the gospel. And I want you to listen. If you're a preacher, this may change your whole ministry. If you're a teacher, a Sunday school teacher, if you're trying to be a soul winner, whatever you may be in the kingdom of God, it may change your whole attitude and outlook, and certainly your methods. But I'm saying that the gospel of Jesus Christ is more than an invitation. It is a command. Now listen to these scriptures. We're not invited to repent. Certainly not. We're commanded to repent. In Acts chapter 17, verse 30, you listen to this. God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Now, do words mean anything at all? God doesn't invite men to repent. He doesn't suggest that men repent. It says, God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. We're not invited to believe God. We're commanded to believe God. The scripture says, He that believeth not shall be damned. We're not invited to believe God. The apostles didn't suggest, now you ought to believe God's word. You should believe God. Don't refuse to believe God. The apostles declared, He that believeth not shall be damned. He that believeth not hath made God a liar. We're not invited to love God and to love one another. The Lord Jesus Christ said, This is my commandment. This is my commandment that you love one another. This is a commandment of God. It's not an invitation. Actually, my friend, and I've received a lot of static through the years on this subject, the word invitation is not in the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. It's not even there one time. The word invite is not in the Bible. I challenge you to find the word invitation or the word invite in God's Word anywhere in 66 books. It does not appear one time. Now, the word invited, past tense, appears three times, but it never refers to God. Three times the word invited appears in the Bible, once in 1 Samuel 9:24, and Samuel told Saul, Samuel the prophet told King Saul that he had prepared a meal and invited the people to share it. And then in 2 Samuel 13, Absalom said he invited the king's sons to eat with him. Absalom invited his brothers and half-brothers to come eat with him. And then in Esther chapter 5, verse 12, Haman said he had been invited by the queen to appear before her. You see what I'm saying? The word invitation is not in the Bible. The word invite's not in the Bible, and the word invited is there three times, but never refers to any spiritual blessing extended to men from the hand of God. Now, before you get angry, let me say this. We may invite men to hear us preach. We may persuade men to look to Christ. Paul said that. I persuade men. Knowing the terror of the Lord, I persuade men. And we, you and I, frail creatures, may beseech men to be reconciled to God. But the King of Kings and Lord of Lords never merely invites men to believe His Word. He commands them to believe His Word. That's not even characteristic of a king to invite men to give credit to His Word. The Lord of the universe does not merely invite His subjects to obey Him. He commands them to obey Him. And the sovereign Lord does not invite men to bow to Christ. He commands them to bow to Christ. He said in Philippians chapter 2, God hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall confess, every tongue shall confess that He's Lord to the glory of God. That's not an invitation, that's a commandment. Now, the scriptures that we call invitations, and I want you to listen carefully to me. I'm saying that the gospel is a whole lot more than an invitation. It's a whole lot more than going out here begging people to repent and begging people to give God a chance and begging people to let God have His way. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords does not beg sinners. He does not negotiate with criminals. He commands men. He commands men. Now, the scriptures that we call invitations are more than invitations. You listen to Isaiah 45, and somebody says, well, preacher, it says in Isaiah 45:22, look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I'm God and there's none else. Is that not an invitation in a sense? But it's a commandment. And it's more than an invitation, it's direction. Now look at verse 20. This is what the Lord said in verse 20 of Isaiah 45. He says, people are foolish and ignorant who look to idols and false gods and pray to a God that cannot save. He said they're ignorant. People are ignorant that look to false gods and statues and idols and false gods that cannot hear and cannot save. He says, look to me. I'm God. Look to me and be you saved. I'm God, for there's none else. Now, that's not a plea. That's direction. That's directions. He's saying these people who look to a false God are foolish. If you want to be saved, you look to me because I am the only true and living God. That's a direction. That's a commandment too. Look to me and be you saved. In Matthew 11, listen to this. You say, what about Matthew 11:28? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Did you ever take the trouble to read verse 27? It does go with verse 28, Matthew 11:27. Now listen to the Lord Jesus. He said in verse 27, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. No man knoweth the Son but the Father, and no man knoweth the Father but the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. You come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. That's directions. That's turning your eyes in the right direction. That's turning your eyes upon the right person. I know the Father. I reveal the Father. I have the power to give rest. I have the power to give peace. So you come to me. That's still a commandment. You come unto me and I'll give you rest. And if you'll take the time to examine all the other so-called invitations, you'll find that the gospel of Jesus Christ is more than an invitation. It's a command. It's a command. As our Lord said, repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel. I'll tell you this, to believe God is to reap great blessings and benefits. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. What benefits that come from believing. What blessings come from believing God? What rich mercies come from believing God? Believe God. He that believeth on the Son hath life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life. To refuse to believe God is to incur great sin. John said, if we receive not the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son, we make God a liar. That's a serious charge. A man who does not believe the Word of God makes God a liar. He's putting a question mark on the record that God gave concerning his Son. And my friend, to deny the gospel is to be forever damned. Our Lord said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. See how serious it is? To believe God is to receive great benefits and blessings. To refuse to believe God is to incur great sin. We make God a liar. And to refuse to believe the gospel is to be forever damned. But the gospel is more than just an invitation. It's a commandment. It's a command from the throne of a sovereign God. What I'm saying is this, and I'm going to give you three things to think about. Number one, we're not faced with a choice. I hear people talking about our choice to believe or not to believe. I beg your pardon. We're not faced with a choice. We're faced with a commandment. We're faced with a commandment. Now, you listen to this scripture, 1 John 5:9. If we receive the witness of men, and we do, we believe the word of men. You go see your doctor says you have a certain problem. He writes down a prescription, hands it to you. You believe him. You believe what he wrote down. You go to the druggist, he fills the prescription, hands it to you, and you swallow it. You believe the witness of men. Now, if you believe the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. And this is the witness of God, which he has testified of his Son. This is it. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made God a liar, because he believes not the record that God hath given concerning his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. I'm saying it's not optional whether you repent or don't repent. You're commanded to repent. God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. You have no option. You have no option. And it's not optional for you to believe God or not to believe God, to give credit to his word or to doubt his word. It's commanded that you believe God. Let me ask you some questions. How many of you parents out there invite your children to believe you? You come in, you say, now, son, I want you to go upstairs and get your clothes together. We're going to get in the car and go down to grandmother's house and spend the night. Do you invite your son to believe you? Or do you expect him to believe you? Do you command him to believe? Do you invite your son to obey you? Or do you command him? When you tell that son to go upstairs and get his clothes and come downstairs and get in the car, is that an invitation or is that a commandment? Now, you mean to tell me that the Heavenly Father simply invites men to believe him, to give credit to his word, and you being evil expect people to believe yours and expect your children to obey your word? How many policemen out there invite you to obey the law? You don't see any signs along the highway, we invite you to go 55. We invite you not to do this, that, or that. No, sir. Commandments. How many generals you suppose would last in an army if they stood out in front of the troops and said, now, we invite you men to charge into battle. We invite you to get into your airplanes and take off and fight for your country. Now, it's just a suggestion. You don't really have to. It's optional. You can obey our word or you can... That's foolishness. And yet we talk about the living Lord of glory, who gave his only begotten Son to redeem a people, who has purposed to populate heaven with a new people like Christ, and he's simply out here inviting rebels to obey him. He's inviting his subjects to believe him. He's inviting men to give credit to his word. That's a pack of foolishness. It's not optional whether or not you believe God. And my friend, it's not optional whether or not you bow to Christ. Peter said on Pentecost, listen, God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, God made him Lord and Christ. And they said, well, what are we going to do? We've crucified the Lord of glory. He said, I'll tell you what you're going to do. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. That's no invitation. That's a commandment. That's a commandment. Abel wasn't invited to bring a blood offering. He was commanded to bring a blood offering. It wasn't optional whether or not he came to God with a blood sacrifice or like Cain came. That was the only way. God had respect to Abel and his offering because it was one God commanded. Noah wasn't invited to build an ark. He was commanded to build an ark. And I'll tell you this, he wasn't invited to enter the ark. He was told to enter the ark. Now you listen to the scripture in Genesis, I believe it's chapter 7. When the ark was completed and the flood was approaching, God said, Noah, come into the ark. Come into the ark. Now listen to the next verse, 16. It says, so they went in as God commanded. Huh? They went in as God suggested or invited or pled with them or begged them. Also, God doesn't beg. God's no beggar. Not the God of the Bible. Not the God of the universe. They went in as God commanded. Noah was commanded to enter that ark, and Israel was not invited to kill a Passover lamb. They were commanded upon the first day of the month, upon the certain month, you shall do this. You shall put the blood on the door. You shall go in your houses and close the door. You shall wait under the blood. And when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. That was God's commandment. And failure to obey or respond to the commandment of God brought death and condemnation. Moses wasn't invited to build a tabernacle. He was commanded to build the tabernacle. And Aaron and the high priest were not invited to offer an atonement. They were commanded to bring an atonement. And I'll tell you this. And our generation has been thrown a curve. They've been hoodwinked. They've been conned. They've been misled by phony, false prophets and preachers so long that we've swallowed it hook, line, and sinker and support men in their error. It is more than an invitation. And they talk about the gospel invitation. I tell you this, it's a gospel commandment. It's a commandment. And you and I are faced with a whole lot more than a mere invitation. We're faced with the Word of God which commands us to repent and believe the gospel. And to fail to obey the commandment of God is to incur the eternal condemnation and wrath of an infinite, unchangeable God. Now, let me ask you some questions. Why is the gospel a command and more than an invitation? Why is it a command and more than an invitation? Well, first of all, it's a command in that it is according to God's character. According to God's character as a sovereign king. Now, listen, a righteous judge doesn't negotiate with a criminal. You have a judge sitting on his bench, and he has authority as a law with him and behind him, and he's expected to act in justice and righteousness. You don't find him negotiating with criminals. Now, I'll tell you what you do. He talks to a criminal in front of his bench. Now, tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to do this if you'll meet me halfway. The judge doesn't talk that way at all. He says, I'll tell you what we're going to do. You're going to serve 10 years. And if you behave yourself, I'll let you off at the end of 5 years. But if you don't do so-and-so, you'll put in life. You see what the judge not negotiating with that criminal. He's handing down his ruling. And a great master does not beg slaves to obey him. And a mighty king does not bargain with his subjects. And a holy God does not suggest that sinners repent and believe the gospel and walk before him in holiness. He doesn't suggest it at all. He doesn't invite them to. He commands it. Now, I tell you this. You come with me to Sinai's mountain. When the nation of Israel stood out in front of that mountain while God spoke, and it says that light, that mountain flashed with lightning and thunder and smoke, and the awesome, awful presence of God was manifested. And Israel backed away from that mountain. And I don't find God saying, now these have 10 suggestions for you gentlemen that I wish to present to you and invite you to hear my word. He said, these are my commandments. Walk before me in holiness and live. Disobey my word and die. That's a commandment. And that's the only way God speaks to fallen men. He speaks with authority. He speaks by way of commandment. Now, I'm telling you the truth. The gospel is not, it's not an invitation only. It's a commandment in keeping with the character of a holy God. And when you talk about it being anything else, you compromise the character of God. And really what you're doing, you're revealing the character of your God. And he's less than the God of the Bible. He has no authority to command men. Thou thoughtest I was altogether such a one as thyself. I tell you something else about the gospel being a commandment. The gospel being a command gives boldness to God's ambassadors. Listen to Christ when he sent his disciples out to preach. In Matthew 28:18, he said, now all authority. All, this is the crucified, risen Redeemer talking. He says, all authority, power, is given unto me in heaven and earth. All authority, all power over all flesh. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations. I got all authority. We don't go forth apologizing for God. We don't go forth begging men to let go and let God. We don't go forth begging people to let Jesus have his way. My friends, a true ambassador of the Son of God goes forth into this world declaring the crown rights of King Jesus, which he has by decree and design, and which he purchased in his death. And we go forth crying what the psalmist cried in Psalm 2, kiss the Son, lest he be angry. Now, if some preachers of this day would get a hold of the truth of the gospel and the character of God and the need of sinners and the crown rights of Christ, we'd have less mealy-mouth, pussy-footing preachers, and we'd have some men standing preaching with boldness and authority and fearlessly instead of occupying a vocation or a profession and earning a living and drawing their breaths and drawing their salaries and scared to death they're going to get fired and pleasing men that go forth and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ as it is a command. That's exactly right. And you know I'm telling you the truth. And the gospel comes thirdly as a command to encourage humble seekers to hope for mercy. Now you listen carefully to this. I'm saying the gospel is more than an invitation. It's a command in keeping with the character of God. And also to give his ambassadors the courage and boldness which they must have. And then to encourage the humble seeker. Listen to me. If I'm commanded to believe on Christ, then I may. That's right. I can. If I'm commanded to believe on Christ, if I'm commanded by God to come to Christ and find in him full pardon and full forgiveness, then I'm at perfect liberty to do so. You see what I'm saying? If I'm commanded to, the daddy tells the son, son, take that box and get some firewood. May I do that, Father? May you do it. I told you to do it. I told you to do it. And with the commandment comes permission. And not only permission, but power. Listen to the Lord stand outside the grave of Lazarus and say, Lazarus, come forward. Is that an invitation? That's a command. And with the command of the king comes permission and power. Listen to him tell the man on the bed with the 38 years of sick of palsy, couldn't walk. He said, take up your bed and walk. Is that an invitation or is that a command? You know it's a command. And with that command comes permission and power. Listen to him tell the man with a withered hand, stretch out your hand. Do it. You say he couldn't. He did. He did because his Lord commanded him to. And with the command came the power and the permission. Does this sound like invitations? I'm telling you, God expects men to believe. And God commands men to believe. And I go forth with the same message. When I preach the gospel, I expect you to believe it. And I command you to believe it. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to believe God's word. Now, what's the obedience required in the gospel? About three or four things, and I close. Number one, to hear God's word. He said, "This is my beloved Son. Hear him." Is that an invitation? Hear him. That's the Father speaking from heaven. I suggest, if I may be so bold, God says, that you listen to my Son. That is, if you don't have anything better to do, I invite you. Not God. Your God, maybe, but not God of the Bible. "This is my Son. Hear ye him." Ezekiel said, "O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." Our God said, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." You're commanded to hear God's word. You're commanded to repent. Lay down your arms, put up your shotgun, and bow to Christ. That's God's commandment. You're commanded to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You're commanded to confess Christ publicly. You're commanded of God to love one another. You're commanded of God to walk in holiness and obedience on this earth to bring glory and praise to his name. He said, "As your heavenly Father is holy, be ye holy. As your heavenly Father is merciful, be ye merciful." Now, I told you before I started this message, I had a controversial message, but I want you to do this. I want you to give as much time to the consideration of this message as I've given to the preparation of it, and that's a long time. And you give it some thoughts and see if I'm not telling you the truth. God commandeth all men everywhere to repent. And God commands all men everywhere to believe his gospel. Repent and believe the gospel. That's what our Lord said. Now, if you want this message on a cassette tape, I'll be bringing a message next week on Justified by Faith. Both these messages on the same tape. You write to me. You'll have the address right there before you in a moment. You send $2 contribution, and we'll mail you the tape by return mail. Till next week, may the Lord bless you, is my prayer. Then same